Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Psachim Daf Tzadi Gimel. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 6 lines from the top of Daf Tzadi Gimel. The Gemara opens up with a Tanaic source that deals with those people who will be expected to offer the Pesach Sheni. That's on the 14th of Iyar. Someone who did not offer his Pesach Rishon, his Pesach at the official time, the 14th of Nisan, he has a makeup time. The Pesach in the Torah, in Bamidbar Perek Tes, Pesach Yud, says, Ish Ish Kiyeh Tomei Lenefesh. We have this included on the side of the Gemara. A person who is Tomei, he's defiled to the dead because of contact or defilement through contact with the dead. O Bederech Rechoka Lochem O Ledoro Sechem, or he was distant from Yerushalayim, from the Beis HaMikdash on the 14th of Nisan. O Ledoros, and this applies to future generations. V'Osa Pesach Lashem, he will do a Korban Pesach on the 14th of Iyar. So we begin with the source, Tana Rabbanan, a Tanaic source, Elu Shoyisim Es HaSheni. The following are those that would do a Pesach Sheni. Of course, we're talking about, there's now a list of people who were Tomei, and that means they were Tomei on the 14th of Nisan, so the Sheni is a reference to doing the Korban Pesach on the makeup date, Yud Dalid Iyar, the next month, the month after Nisan. And who are the people? Hazovim Vazovos, V'hametzoroyim, v'hametzoros, v'nidos, u'bo'ale nidos. All of these are different types of tuma. V'hayoldos, likewise a woman who recently gave birth, and she was tmeya on the 14th of Nisan. V'hashoygigin, v'hanusim, v'hamezidim, v'tomei, v'shehoya, b'derech rechoka. And people that were shogeg or onus, they forgot, or they were under some type of duress, or they deliberately didn't do it. The Tomei, someone who was defiled. Now, the word Tomei, after we had a whole list of people that were already Tomei, what's this, what are we adding over here? So Rashi, in one word, explains Lenefesh. It means it's Tumas Mace, as opposed to the other Tumas. And Vishahoya B'derech Rechoka, someone who was at a distance from the Beis HaMikdash on the 14th of Nisan. Now, we have a bracketed section. We skip that for a moment, because that which is in the brackets is the language isn't, it needs to be redone. So after the brackets, the corrected form appears. Im kein lomo ne'mar b'derech rechoika. If we mention that all the others are going to do a Pesach Sheni, so why is there need to mention also the case of the derech rechoika? Answer, lefotro min hakores, to exempt him from kores for not having done the Pesach Rishon. He's exempt from the Kores punishment. Now, this is based on an idea where you might have thought there should be Kores, because there is an opinion, as the Gemara says, Uchemanda Omar Hurtza. That's a reference to, let us say, someone was Bederech Rechoika, he was at a distance. Technically speaking, he could have had someone bring sacrifices for him. He could have had an emissary do it. And according to this opinion, if it were done on behalf of someone who was Bederech Rechoka, Hurtza means it would have been accepted. And this is something we learned in our previous shiurim, that, and there was a machlokis between Rav Sheshis and Rav Nachman on this point. Rashi points out that this Tanaic source is according to the approach that was adopted by Rav Nachman, that it would have been accepted. Well, even if he didn't do it that way, and he happened to be Bederech Rechoika, he has a makeup date on the 14th of Iyar, and he is exempt from Kores for not having done it on the 14th of Nisan. The Gemara points out that in the source we just read, we mentioned women that are going to be doing a Pesach Sheni. It mentioned the Nidos, the Yoldos. These are examples of women. And the Gemara asks, Isha B'Sheni Mi Mechaiva, is a woman obligated to do a Pesach Sheni? V'Hor Tanya, we have the following source. Yachol lo yu oisin es ha-sheni elo tomei nefesh v'shehoya b'derech rechoyka. If I would have had just the pasuk itself, I would have thought that only a tomei nefesh and a derech rechoka does Pesach Sheni. Zavin u'mitzoroin u'boali nidos minayin. The three lists of different kinds of tumah, zav, mitzora, and bole nidos, these are all males. It doesn't mention nidos and yoldos in this source. So how do I know that they also have a makeup day? Talmud lomar, ish ish. The double expression that's in that pasuk, Bamidbar Perek Tes Pasuk Yud, clues me into additional examples. But what we have to emphasize here, it doesn't mention any women in this, leading us to believe that when it comes to Pesach Sheni, women are not chayovos. But the previous source listed women as well as being obligated to do a Pesach Sheni. So how do you resolve these two sources? Loi kasha, there is no difficulty. Ha Rabbi Yosi, ha Rabbi Yehuda of Rabbi Shimon. You have a machlokas tanoim, something we also learned in the past back on Daf Tzadi Aleph. According to Rabbi Yosi, he was of the opinion that a woman is chayeves in Pesach Sheni, and it goes without saying she's chayeves in Pesach Rishon. She's obligated, according to Rabbi Yosi, as opposed to Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon that do not mention, they hold that a woman is not obligated to do a Pesach Sheni. So according to that approach, if the woman was unable to do Pesach Rishon, that's it, she's unable, and she's exempt for further on. Tonu Rabbonan. We have another Tanaic source. Chayav Kores Al HaRishon V'Chayav Kores Al HaSheni, the very Rebbe. Rebbe mentions that for the non-performance of Korban Pesach on the first opportunity, that's Yudalid Nisan, that could yield to a Chiv Kores. Likewise, if someone doesn't do it on Pesach Sheni, when he was expected to do it at Pesach Sheni, he is also going to be Chayav Kores. Now, it doesn't mean that one person is Chayav Kores twice. That's impossible. And Rashi points that out. So we're talking about a situation where someone could not have done it on Pesach Rishon, and he had an obligation, therefore, to do it Pesach Sheni, and he didn't do it, so he would be Chayav Kores. We continue with the next opinion. Rabbi Noson Omer Chayav Kores Al HaRishon Upotur Al HaSheni. For not having done it on Pesach Rishon, so one would be Chayav Kores. However, let's say someone couldn't do it on a Pesach Rishon, and he was expected to do it at Pesach Sheni and didn't do it. He is Potter. He's not Chayav Kores for that. And there will be explanation of that when we get into the Gemara. And Rabbi Hanina ben Akavya, a third opinion, says, Omer af al horishoin eino chayav kores, Elohim kain loy osa es hasheni. According to Rabbi Hanina, you can have a person that deliberately didn't do the Pesach Rishon. We will tell you he's not chayav kores unless he doesn't do the Pesach Sheni. The Rashi, lower part of the narrow line, says, Af al harishon im hazid eino chayav kores. Even if he avoided the Pesach Rishon, he's still not chayav kores, ad shi yozid af b'sheni, unless he deliberately skips doing Pesach on the Pesach on Pesach Sheni. Avlim osas hasheni. However, if he did a Pesach Sheni after having deliberately not done the Pesach Rishon, and by the way, we've learned in previous shiurim, and it's worth repeating here, even though we should have said it earlier, the lack of doing a Korban Pesach deliberately carries with it a chiyuv, a punishment of kores. It's one of the two. It's a rare example of a mitzvah saseh that in fact carries with it such a severe penalty. So the lack of doing the Korban Pesach would result in Kores if done so deliberately. But he says, Rabbi Hanina ben Akavya Omer, he says that even if you deliberately didn't do the Pesach Rishon, you still could do a Pesach Sheni. When is the Chiv Kores going to kick in then? Only if you skip the Pesach Sheni as well, deliberately. Let's read that again in the Tanaic source, the last opinion of Hananya ben Akavya Omer, Afal Rishon Eino Chayav Kores, Elohim Kain Lo Osa Esasheni. As you can see, that he holds that even on the for avoiding the non-fulfillment of Pesach Rishon, there's no Chiyuv Kores unless he doesn't do the Pesach Sheni. The Ozdu Letamayu, this is a reference to Rebbe and Rebbe Nosson, they are consistent with what they have said elsewhere. Desanya. But before we begin, we should note that according to Rebbe, the Pesach Sheni is a separate entity. And that was reflected in the fact that a Chiyuv Kores could result not only for not having done the Pesach on the Pesach Rishon, but for not having done a Pesach Sheni, which describes a person that he was ineligible for Pesach Rishon. So we discount that. If he doesn't do the Pesach Sheni, that could also generate a Chiyuv Kores, indicating that it has a separate strength unto itself. With that in mind, the source says, Ger shenizgayer bein shnei psochim, v'chein koton shehigdil bein shnei psochim. A person who converted after Pesach Rishon, between Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni, likewise a child who became an adult, which means bar mitzvah, between Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni, Chayov La'asois Pesach Sheni, Divrei Rebbe. He is obligated to do a Pesach Sheni, indicating that it is a what's called a regel echod bifnei atzmo. It's considered like a separate occasion, a separate holiday. It has its own significance. Therefore, even if he wasn't fit for the Pesach Rishon, that doesn't make him unfit for doing the Pesach Sheni. Rebbe Nosson Omer, Kol Shezokuk L'Rishon, Zokuk L'Sheni. Anyone who had an obligation to do Pesach Rishon, so he is obligated, if he didn't do Pesach Rishon, then to do the Pesach Sheni. Kol Shein Zokuk L'Rishon, if he wasn't associated with the Pesach Rishon, he wasn't obligated, like the case we just saw, he converted only afterwards as a Gentile, obviously he's not Chayev. So if he had no connection with the Pesach Rishon, Ein Zokuk L'Sheni, so he's not obligated to do Pesach Sheni. B'mai Komifli, what's the underlying point of difference between these two opinions? Rebbe Sofar. Now, we should, before going ahead, we should point out the markings on the side of the Gemara. We had a Noseya topic heading, which mentioned Gimel Deus Tanoim Al HaGeder Shel Pesach Sheni. Three Tanaic opinions on how to classify a Pesach Sheni, how to view it, how to categorize it. And the Mivneh, this diamond marking, are the Deos, which will appear in the Gemara. The first is Rebbe, that says Regel Bifnei Atzmo. The second will be Rebbe Nosson, who says Tashlumin Derishon. It's a makeup for the first one. But it's Avolot Takanto Derishon. It's a makeup, but it's not a repair. And we'll see the difference shortly. And number three, Rebbe Chanan ben Akiva says Takanto Derishon. And let's see all of this now in the Gemara. Rebbe Sovar, the first diamond, Sheni Regel Bifnei Atzmo, who according to Rebbe, the second Pesach, the Pesach of the 14th of Iyar, is considered a separate entity. And the clearest manifestation of this is even if you had no connection with the Pesach Rishon, you were still a Gentile at that point, or you were still a minor, you will still be expected to do Pesach Sheni if at that point you had either converted or had become adult, reached bar mitzvah. That's Regel Bifnei Atzmohu. Then Rebbe Nosson Savar Sheni Tashlumin Derishon Hu Tikuni Lerishon Lo Maskin Lei. According to Rebbe Nosson, the second Pesach is a makeup for the first one, meaning if you were unfit to do Pesach Rishon, so here you have a chance to make it up. However, it's not a repair. Now, what do we mean a takona? That means if you deliberately didn't do the Pesach Rishon, so you can't fix the problem. It's not fixable by offering it Pesach Sheni. Rabbi Hananya ben Akavya Omer, so far, he holds Sheni takanto de Rishon hu. The Pesach Sheni is a repair. That means even if you were mazed, Pesach Rishon deliberately didn't do it, you have a chance to repair your sin and offer Pesach Sheni. Ushloshton Mikro Echodoshun. Here is something very interesting, that these three Tanaic opinions all derive their opinions from the same pasuk. So it's all a question of how to darshan the pasuk. Now, the Gemara will be occupied with this discussion practically till the Mishnah on Omid Beis. Before we begin, however, we have some markings and some explanation to do. So on the side, you can see under our Mivneh heading, you see the double underline is featured, and that will introduce Eich Dorshim Shitasam Mea Pasuk, how each one of the Tanoim derives their respective opinions from the Pasuk. And by the way, you'll ask, what Pasuk are we referring to? So we've included this on the side of the Gemara, Bamidbar Perek Tes Pasuk Yud Gimel. Let's read the Pasuk together. It says, V'ish asher hu tohor u'bederech lo hoya, v'chodah la'asoy sa'pesach, v'nichrusu ha'nefesh ahi me'ameho, ki korban Hashem lo hikriv, v'mo'ado chet'o yiso ho'ish ha'hu. And when reading that pasuk, we see it says that a person who was tohor and he was not on a journey, v'chodal, and he withheld from la'asos ha'pesach, from doing a korban pesach, v'nichriso ha'nefesh ahi me'ameha, and such a person will be cut off. That's the penalty of kores. And now a key expression, key Korban Hashem lo ikriv b'moado. The korban is referring to a korban Pesach. However, the question that will preoccupy us is which korban Pesach is referred to here. The pasuk had already said a few lines before. The pasuk had said the chodal lasos ha Pesach, and he withheld from doing the Pesach. And it says in the pasuk he will receive kores. Ki korban Hashem lo hikriv b'moado, since he didn't offer it. The question is, the chiv kores is coming as a result of not offering what? Not offering the Pesach Rishon, or possibly not even offering the Pesach Sheni. Now, we saw different opinions on that, and as a result, there will be a couple of approaches to this particular pasuk. Now, on the side, we have another marking. This crown shape is here to highlight the drachim shoinim, as you can see in our note on the side, drachim shoinim eich lidroish hamila ki ba posuk ba midbar tes posuk yud gimel. The word had appeared in the posuk ki korban Hashem lo hikriv b'moado. Yesh litzayin de lefi Rebbe, according to Rebbe, hach seifa dekra Eino koi al horesha. The end of the pasuk, which says ki korban Hashem, is not a reference to the first part of the pasuk. Umemelo resha pesach rishon, v'seifa pesach sheni. And if as such, then the first part of the pasuk speaks about the chodal ases a pesach, he didn't do a pesach rishon, and then ki korban Hashem lo ikriv, that's a reference to his not doing the pesach sheni. The low kosher, or the ain kesher b'nehem, and there's no connection between them. Masha'en kein lefi Rabbi Hananya b'hemshech, as opposed to Rabbi Hananya that we'll see later, the seifa nami Pesach Sheni. The Sefer of the Pasuk is like Rebbe in this sense, that it's also referring to the Pesach Sheni. Aval hu kashur l'resha. However, the end of the Pasuk, though it's talking about a Pesach Sheni, is tied into the resha. V'lachein borur, and according to that approach, it's clear the chet o yisa basefa, that the expression chet o yisa at the end, have kores, since the continuation of the pasuk is tied into the beginning of the pasuk in which the word v'nichrasa appeared, so that when it says at the end of the pasuk chet o yisa, it's tied into the v'nichrasa. Chet al Yisa means that he will bear his sin, and it will manifest itself through kores. Avol le Rebbe, the Sefer de Kra eino kosher le Reisha, but according to Rebbe, the end of the pasuk is not tied into the beginning of the pasuk. Hai Chet al Yisa be Pesach Sheni eino borur mahi. What does it mean when you say Chet al Yisa? V'lochein hu nilmad mi mevorech and megadef. Therefore, according to Rebbe, we will see later in the Gemara that the Chet O Yisa of the Seifa is going to be figured out, is going to be derived from a combination of two other psukim involving Mevorach Hashem and Megadef, which we won't explain right this minute. In those psukim, we know and we see Chet O appearing, and in that context of Mevorech and Megadef, we understand that Chet O means Kores, because Kores is spelled out over there, and you have in that parsha of Mevorech Megadef, you've got also the expression Chet O, so you combine Chet O there, including the word that has, and Chet O there is accompanied with Kores, and here you see by Pesach Sheni the word Chet O, so it must also mean Kores. And again, all of this is because, according to Rebbe, the second part of the pasuk is not related to the first part of the pasuk. So it's true that regarding in this pasuk the word v'nichrasa kores appeared. However, it appeared in the context of the Pesach Rishon. What about the Pesach Sheni? How does Rebbe know that the non-fulfillment of the Pesach Sheni, of course, if someone didn't do the Pesach Rishon, how do we know that the non-fulfillment of that will result in a chiyuv kores? So Rebbe will know that because he will seek a definition of the word cheto from the Mevorech Megadev source, another parsha which enlightens us here as to what cheto means, and we conclude it means kores. Amir Sashem, we will see all of this in the Gemara. As we pointed out already, the crown marking helps to highlight what the word ki in the pasuk, ki korban Hashem lo ikriv, what does that word ki mean? So you have one crown marking over here, and on Omid Beis you will see under Rabbi Nosson's name, the second, the case where you see the double underline two lines after that, and under Rabbi Hananiah ben Akavia's approach, also his take on the word ki, and that's explained in the crown. We continue now in the Gemara. We mentioned that the three darshan the same pasuk, and it said Vo'ish asher u tohor ubederech lo hoya Rebbe Savar. In looking at this pasuk that said a person who was tohor or he wasn't on the road, and Rebbe holds that the pasuk as it continues, it says V'chodal lasos ha-pesach v'nichrasa, and he withheld from doing the pesach, he will be chayav kores delo avad b'rishon, because he didn't do the pesach rishon. The pasuk quote here ends with the word v'nichrasa, and the Gemara explains why v'nichrasa delo avad b'rishon. Inami korban Hashem lo hikriv b'mado. Now the inami is an expression the Gemara uses to explain the word ki, because in the pasuk it said ki korban Hashem lo hikriv, and what Rebbe is doing, he's interpreting the word ki and saying that the pasuk is here to tell me inami korban Hashem lo hikriv b'mado basheni. In other words, how can a person encounter the kores punishment? Well, if he doesn't do the Pesach Rishon. Likewise, if he doesn't do the Pesach Sheni. There's no connection, though, between the two.
other than if he did a Pesach Rishon, so the, of course he doesn't do the Pesach Sheni, but if he didn't do the Pesach Rishon, if he didn't do it deliberately, that's reason for giving him Kores. Or someone who had a good excuse not to do the Pesach Rishon, but he didn't do the Pesach Sheni, that's Inami. Or if he didn't do the Pesach Sheni, he could be Chayev Kores. Umimai cheto yisa kore. So according to Rebbe, that the second part of the pasuk is not an explanation, it's not a stipulation with regard to the first part, it's a separate clause. How does Rebbe know that for the non-fulfillment of the Pesach Sheni, there is Kores? Well, all it said in the end of the Pasuk was Cheto Yisa. So the Gemara is asking, how does Rebbe know that Cheto Yisa means Kores Hu? Answer, we continue at the top of Omid Beis. Kosovar, Rebbe creates the following formula. He holds that Megadev Hainu Mevorech Hashem, that the Pasuk in Bamidbar, and we have this psukim included on the side of the Gemara. There's a posuk in Bamidbar, Perek Tesvav, posuk Lamed. It mentions there the issue of Megadif. It says, V'anefesh asher ta'aseh biyad Roma min o'ezrach u'min ager es Hashem hu Megadif v'nichrso ha'nefesh ahi mikerev amo. Now, according to this approach, Megadef, the sin was called Megadef. It said in the Pasuk, Es Hashem hu Megadef. What is Megadef? Whatever it is, it says in this Pasuk that there's a Chiyuv Kores. So according to Rebbe, Megadef is the same as Mevorach Hashem. Mevorach Hashem is a euphemism. The word Mevorach means, really, is cursing. And what does it say? Uksiv b'mevorach es Hashem. The Gemara says on the second line from the top, v'noso cheto. So, and that is in posuk. It's in Vayikra perek chav dalid posuk tes vav. In that posuk, and we have that included on the side. It says ish ish ki yikalel eloikov v'noso chetoi. So, in with regard to mevorach Hashem, which again is a euphemism, one who curses, he is chet, it says v'nasa cheto. So you see the word cheto there? We combine that with the fact that Rebbe holds that the prohibition, the violation of the Torah known as Megadef, is one in the same as Mevorach Hashem. Now what does it say by Megadef? There it says Kores explicitly. So I understand that v'nasa cheto, he will literally bear his sin, means he bears his sin in through that's manifest through a Kores punishment. And how do we know that? Because the Pasuk of Megadef is in effect describing Mevorach Hashem, and with regard to Megadef, you see V'nichrusa. So I know that the word Cheto means Kores, and as a result of that, we continue in the Gemara, V'gomar Hai Chetoi Dehocha. I will then learn the unknown cheto here by Pesach Sheni, me cheto dehosam, from the word cheto over there by Mevorach Hashem, ma lahalon kores, just like over there it's a reference to kores, af kan so too by Pesach Sheni kores. Rabbi Noson Sovar v'chodal lasos a Pesach v'nichrusa. Rabbi Nosson also is dealing with the pasuk that talks about the sinner in this context is someone who chodal, he withheld from doing the Pesach, and it says v'nichrusa dehai ki loshon deha hu. The word ki, as far as Rabbi Nosson is concerned, it has the it's translated in Aramaic to mean deha. Sort of like we say, giving a reason for v'hochi korma rachmona, and what the Torah is saying when it said v'choda lasas apesach v'nichlasa. Why? Why is there going to be kores for not having done the pesach rishon? For why? D'ha korban Hashem lo hikriv b'moado b'rishon. So as far as Rabbi Nosson is concerned, the whole pasuk is referring to Pesach Rishon. That's the whole purpose of that pasuk, to tell me that a person who doesn't fulfill Pesach Rishon, he will be Chayav Koreis. So there's no reference in this pasuk to the Pesach Sheni. If that's the case, Hai Chet O Yisa my Ovid Le. What is he going to do with the expression Chet O Yisa? In other words, since the whole pasuk is dealing with Pesach Rishon, so it says there's a Chiyuv Koreis for someone who doesn't do a Pesach Rishon. What do I need the end of the pasuk Chet O Yisa for? Answer, Kosovar, namely Rebbe Nosson holds, Megadef Lav Hainu Mavorach Es Hashem. When the Torah speaks about the prohibition of Megadef, and it says in the case, and we learned this pasuk earlier, it said by Megadef there would be Koreis. So by Mavorach Es Hashem, it doesn't say Koreis. It says Venoso Chetoi. Now, Megadef itself, according to this approach, is someone who sings to idols. That's another type of offense, singing to idols. So it's an idolatrous-related offense, whereas Rebbe's approach was that Megadef was one in the same as Mevorach Hashem, so it has nothing to do with idolatry, but rather it has to do with cursing. So Rebbe Nosson is of the opinion that Megadef is not Mevorach Es Hashem. Rather, Megadef is idol worship related, and Mevorach Es Hashem is something else, a separate kind of sin. So if you're going to ask, if someone is guilty of Megadef, what punishment awaits him? So the Gemara points out, the Gomar Hai Cheto Dehasam, the word Cheto in the case of Mevorach Hashem, which at this point would be unknown, because as we said, I know we're sounding a little repetitious, but Mevorach Hashem was not related to the sin of Megadef. So what does Rebbe Nosson do? He learns Cheto of Mevorach Hashem, Mehai Chetoi Dehocha, from the word Cheto by the Pesach in Bamidbar Perek Tes, Posuk Yud Gimel. Ma Hocha Koreis, just like here by the Korban Pesach, there's a Chiyuv Koreis. Av Chosam Koreis, so too by Mevorach Hashem, there will be Koreis. Namely, that the word Chet'o by Mevorach Hashem will also mean Koreis. Rabbi Chananya ben Akavya Sovar. The Chodal, again, he does the same thing. He reads the Pasuk with his interpretation. The Chodal Lasos HaPesach V'Nichrusa. A person who doesn't do the Korban Pesach, and he will be cut off, he'll experience Koreis. E Korban Hashem Lo Hikriv Bemado B'Sheni. If, when will be there be a Chiyuv Koreis? If he doesn't do the Pesach Sheni. The Hai Cheto Yisa Mai Ovidle. According to Rabbi Chanan ben Akavya, what do I need the Cheto expression for? As far as he is concerned, the story concerning Pesach, the Pesach Sheni, is tied in to the beginning of the Pasuk, as we had mentioned earlier. So since it's tied into the beginning of the Pasuk, I know that Pesach Sheni and its lack of performance will carry with it a Chiyuv Koreis. So what do I need that final expression of Cheto Yisa for? That's the question of the Gemara. So the Gemara answers, and notice you'll have it says Kida Amoran, as we said before, meaning Rabbi Chanan ben Akavya uses the Cheto Yisa for teaching me about Mevorach Es Hashem, that it will be Chayev Koreis. At this point, you can see we have a long marking, we call this a Sikum, a summation. Hilkoch Hezid Boze Uboze Divrei Kol Chayev. A person deliberately did not do a Pesach Rishon, deliberately did not do a Pesach Sheni. Everyone, that the three Rebbe, Rebbe Nosson, Rebbe Chanan ben Akavya, they all agree he's Chayev, and Chayev means Koreis. Shogag Boze Uboze, he unknowingly did not perform. He forgot might have forgotten the dates, and that's the reason he didn't do the Pesach Rishon nor the Pesach Sheni. That's Shogag Bozeh Bozeh Divrei HaKol. Potter, everyone agrees that he is exempt. Hazid Borishon V'Shogag B'Sheni. Let's say a person deliberately did not do the Pesach Rishon. By mistake, he didn't do Pesach Sheni. So the Rebbe Ula Rebbe Nosson Mechayvi. According to Rebbe and Rebbe Nosson, who agree that the Pesach Sheni is not a chance to fix amazed avoidance of Pesach Rishon, so then we don't really care why he didn't do the Pesach Sheni. He was mazed with regard to Pesach Rishon. Rebbe and Rebbe Nosson Mechayvi. They are Mechayev, there's Chiv Koreis for that. And if he, and as opposed to Rabbi Hananya ben Akavya, Potter, why? Because as far as Rabbi Hananya is concerned, the Chiyuv Koreis for not doing Pesach Rishon is totally dependent on whether or not he'll do a Pesach Sheni. Now, and if he didn't do the Pesach Sheni because of Shogeg circumstances, so according to Rabbi Hananya ben Akavya, he'll be exempt from the Koreis penalty. Shogag v'Rishon v'Hezid v'Sheni. Let's say a person unwittingly forgot, did not do the Pesach Rishon, and when it came to Pesach Sheni, he deliberately didn't make up this Korban Pesach there either. But that was deliberate. Le Rebbe Chayev. According to Rebbe, such a person will be Chayev Koreis. Why? Because Rebbe said that that even though he was only Shogeg Rishon, the regel Sheni, the Pesach Sheni is a regel b'fnei atzmo. It has its own inherent significance, and if you're mazed in that on that day and don't do the Pesach Sheni, that's reason enough to be Chayev Koreis. The Rabbi Nosson, the Rabbi Hananya ben Akavya Potter, but according to both of them, since the Sheni is related to the Pesach Rishon, and with regard to the Pesach Rishon, he was merely shogeg. He didn't do it unwittingly. So they agree. The Rabbi Nosson, Rabbi Hananya ben Akavya Potter. He is exempt from Chiyuv Koreis. We should point out that as far as Rabbi Nosson and Rabbi Hananya, only with regard to the Pesach Rishon is Koreis spelled out. And with regard to the Pesach Rishon, he was Shogeg in this case. Before we begin the Mishnah, let us just remind you that the Mishnah, which opens up with Ezil Hi Derech Rechoka, this was in the Pasuk, that if a person is Bederech Rechoka on the 14th of Nisan, so he is exempt from doing the Korban Pesach. Of course, we have to define what does it mean to be at a distance, and that's the role of this Mishnah. Ezil Hi Derech Rechoka. So we have a couple of opinions. The first opinion, min hamodi'in. Modi'in is the name of a place. Min hamodi'in v'lachutz. There's a distance that we, in our mind's eye, draw from Modi'in to Yerushalayim, and that would represent now the radius of a circle, because the Mishnah says, from Modi'in v'lachutz, Uchamidosa l'chol ruach, and that same distance in any direction, divrei Rabbi Akiva. So, if the distance between Yerushalayim and Modi'in measures, let us say, 15 mil, as the Gemara will point out, if you are more than 15 mil from Jerusalem, a mil is a distance of approximately a kilometer, it's 2,000 amos. Every Amo being a half meter, approximately, all these things are approximations. So 2,000 half meters is 1,000 meters, 1 kilometer. So if a person is that distance from Jerusalem on the 14th of Nisan, he is considered Derech Rechoka, namely is more than 15 kilometers. And that distance applies to all directions, of course, from Yerushalayim. Hence we said that in the Mishnah, when it mentions from Jerusalem to Modi'in, if you're further than Modi'in from Yerushalayim, that's simply a reference to a distance, Modian being true a specific place, but it's just an example in order to create this particular distance, this radius that you now have between Jerusalem and any point on the circle drawn around Yerushalayim with radius 15. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Meiskupas Ho'azora Velachutz. He has a very interesting sheet. He says, if you are out from the threshold of the temple courtyard and outside, you are exempt from Pesach Rishon. Omer Le, Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi, in hearing Rabbi Eliezer's sheet, Rabbi Yossi confirms his sheet. He says, Lefikach Nakud Al Hey. The word Rechoka in the Pasuk has a traditional dot. Traditional means that in the Torah, you know, there are no vowels, there's no punctuation. However, there are dots that are placed over certain letters in certain words of the Torah. One of those dots appears above the letter He in the word Rechoika, and the role of a dot is to minimize, to reduce, so that the word rechoka means a distance, and now we reduce the meaning of the word distance to mean something of practically no distance whatsoever, to result in Rabbi Lezer Shita, that if you're simply on the outside of the temple courtyard, you're from the threshold outwards, you are considered derech rechoka, so that in order for someone to be truly obligated in doing Pesach Rishon, he would have to be in the temple courtyard at the 14th of Nisan. So the Mishnah says it's the dot is above the hay, lomar, to inform us, lo mitnei sherochoik vadai, not to tell us that he's really far away, elo miaskupo soazor v'lechutz, all that he's up from the threshold of the courtyard and outside. Omar Ula, min hamodiyin liyushalayim chamisha osor milon havya. The distance between Yerushalayim and Modiyin is 15 mil. Sovar lo, Ula is of the opinion, Kiha di Omar Rabo Bar Barchano Omar Rabbi Yochanan. Kamo Mahalech Odom Biyom. How distant, how far can a person walk in the course of a day? And a day is measured from from dawn till the appearance of three stars. Ula, in establishing 15 mil as the explanation of the pasuk that said derech rechoka, is based on a calculation that we are about to embark upon. And we should note, by the way, that this takes a couple lines to develop, hence we have a long point marking. So Ula holds, like Rabbi Yochanan's teaching, how much can a person walk in one day? Our asora parsos. Asora parsos, a parsa, one parsa equals 4 mil. So 10 parsa is 40 mil. That's how far a person can walk over that entire time period, from dawn till three stars. Now we break down the 40 mil into several parts. Me'alos hashachar v'ad honetz hachamo, chameshes milin. From dawn till sunrise, a person could cover a distance of 5 mil. Mishkias achamo v'ad seisa kuchovim, at the other end of the day, from sunset till three stars appear, chameshes milin, 5 mil. Poshu lo talsin. There is a remainder from the original number 40. Now that we've accounted for 5 and 5, 10 mil, there's a remainder of 30. So poshu lo talsin. That leaves you with a balance of 30 mil. Namely, between sunrise and sunset, 30 mil. Chamesar mitzafu lepalgadiyoyma. That would then divide further 15 from sunrise till noon, the chamesa mipalgad yoyma leurta, and another 15 meal from noon till Urta. Urta's evening means till sunset. Now we've dashed underlined this because this is the time frame and distance that's important for us. Ula letame. Now Ula is the one that established the 15 meal distance, i.e. more than 15 meal is being considered a derech ruchayka. Namely, if you're within 15 meal, you would be obligated to do the Pesach Rishon on the, that namely on the 14th of Nisan. If you're within 15 meal of the Beis HaMikdash, you have an obligation to get to the Beis HaMikdash and do your Korban Pesach. Now this idea is Ula Litamei. This is Ula's point consistent with what he has said elsewhere. Diomar Ula, Ula has said, a zehu derech rechoika. What constitutes a derech rechoika? Kol she'ein yochol likones b'sh'as shchita. Anyone who cannot get to the Beis HaMikdash during the time that one does the shchita. Now, what is the time allotted for the shchita of the Korban Pesach? Very simply, from noon, from a moment after noon till sunset. That's called Shas Shchita. The Torah refers to the Korban Pesach as being offered Bein Ho Arbayim. That means as the sun veers toward the west, as it's toward the, we call it toward the evening, if you will. It's the we'll call afternoon, which begins, technically speaking, right after 12 noon on a perfect 12-hour day, from 12 noon to 6 p.m., namely from that point till sunset. So you've got that half day for offering, for slaughtering the Korban Pesach. How much, what's the distance a person can cover in a half a day? 15 meal. So if you're within that 15 meal distance, you've got an obligation to do the Korban Pesach because you have enough time to get to the Beis HaMikdash and slaughter the Korban Pesach. We continue in the Gemara. Omar Mar. Me'alos ha-shachar v'adhone tzachamo chameshes milin. It was mentioned, and there's a little arrow to the right-hand side of the Gemara. You can see where we mentioned this before. There was some. There was a point that was made as a given, and was it was a, stated as a fact that from dawn till sunrise, a person can cover five meal. Well, where do you know Manolo? From where do you know that? Dichtiv. The answer follows. Ukemo hashat. Now we should just mention this pasuk is dealing with the story involving the destruction of Sodom in the time of Avraham Avinu and his nephew Lot, and Lot was saved by angels that helped him and his some immediate family members escape. And it says there, Dichtiv uchamoy hashachar ola vayaitzu hamalochim v'chulei uksiv hashemesh yotzo al haoretz v'loit bo tzoara. The pasuk says hashachar ola, that is dawn. And Hashemesh Yotza, the other squiggle underline, is sunrise, Netzachamo. So we have the time period from Alos to Netz described over here. From Alos, the Malochim, the angels, hastened Lot out of Sodom. And by sunrise, he arrived in Tzorara, it's another place. V'yomar Rabbi Hanino. And Rabbi Hanino tells us, "Lidi Chazi Alu Asra." I saw that location. In other words, I saw where Sodom was and Tzoara was. V'havio Chamisha Milim, and there was a distance of five mil between Sodom and Tzoar. And as such, since Rabbi Hanino tells us that there was a five mil distance, and we know that Loit covered that distance between sun between dawn and sunrise, hence the distance a person can cover between dawn and sunrise is five meal. Before we go further in the Gemara, we have a topic heading and structural note on the side where a triangle is featured, and we've noted shtei deos. There we'll see two opinions, Ula and Rabbi Yehuda. Ma lo maspikim biglal shuhu b'derech rechoka. When we say that a person is at a great distance, he is far away, what do we mean? He's far away and hence cannot accomplish what? So we already saw Ula's opinion. He would not be able to accomplish shchita. So there are two opinions though. Kol shas shchita or kol shas achila. Now, shas achila, the amount of time available not only for slaughtering the Pesach, but he is so far that he wouldn't be able to arrive in Yerushalayim during the entire eating time allotment as well. Now, eating time allotment is, according to, it's a machlokes tanoim, whether it's up till chatzos halayla, till midnight, or till dawn of the 15th of Nisan daytime. But it's quite a bit more time than shas shchita. So according to that opinion, that's the opinion of Rav Yehuda, you would have to be quite a bit further away than just 15 meal. So if a half a day is 15 meal and a whole night is twice that amount, so in theory it would be 45 meal away from Yerushalayim, and only then would you be considered b'derech rechoka and exempt. Now the reasoning behind that approach of kol shas achila is that the primary purpose of offering a korban pesach is for its eating, and as far as the actual offering is concerned, you could have appointed someone else for that, and having that been done, it would have been offered on your behalf, and you could have arrived before dawn to eat your korban pesach. And if you didn't do all of that, and you could have done it because you were within that distance, then you are guilty of having violated Pesach Rishon. Otherwise, if you're too far, then you would be exempt. So now, with that introduction in mind, and we noted already the triangle introduces these two opinions, we will see additional markings, house shapes, and on the side, the house shapes that will appear shortly represent a ma'akav. That's a ma'akav, acharei, amasu, matan, an attempt to keep track of the give and take. Hence, the house shape will appear in different directions, to illustrate the give and take style. And a diamond will appear in order to accentuate a point of difficulty, a question. So now we turn to the Gemara Gufa. First triangle, Omar Ula, Eizehi Derech Rechoika, what constitutes being too far and hence exempt from the Korban Pesach on the 14th of Nisan? Kol She'en Yochol Likones B'Sha'as Shchita. If you are at that distance that throughout the entire time allotted for the slaughtering, you would not be able to make it. In other words, the clock would start running from the beginning point of Shas Shchita, which is right after noon, until sunset, which is the time, that's the time allotted for Shchita, half a day, and we explained already that's 15 meal, because that's 15 meals, the distance a person could cover in half a day. Rav Yehuda Amar Kol Shein Yochol Likones B'Shas Achila. Anyone who cannot make it into Yerushalayim throughout the time allotted for the eating of the Korban Pesach, if he can't make it then and only then would he be exempt from having done the Pesach because of being B'derech Rechoika. Omar Le Rabo Le'ula. L'didcho Kashya Ula Rav Yehuda Kashya. Now, Ula and Rav Yehuda are Amoroyim, and Rabo says, both you and Rav Yehuda have points of difficulty. L'didcho Kashya, the Amris, according to you, who said, Kol Shein Yochol Likonis B'Shashrit, anyone who can't make it within the time allotted for slaughtering, is considered B'derech Rechoika. Well, I have a question. Ha Tomei Sheretz. Di'ein yochol likones bishas shchita. Someone who has been defiled to a dead sheretz, a type of creature. The Torah enumerates 8 examples of a sheretz that, if they're dead, they communicate tumah. The tumah is a one-day tumah situation. He becomes tahor only after nightfall. So someone who is tamei sheretz, the ein yochol likones bishas shchita. If he's tamei sheretz, he can't make it to the Azora during the time allotted for Shechita. The time allotted for Shechita from noon till sunset is a time period during which he is defiled. He can't make it into the Azora for that. V'ko'amris, and yet you, Ula, say, you say that Shechtin v'zorkin al tomei sheretz, that the Korban Pesach can be processed for someone who is tomei sheretz. So that even though he cannot make it, he still has an obligation. He's not exempt in the simple sense of the word. He has an obligation to have it done for him. In other words, Shochtin v'zochin, others will slaughter and sprinkle the blood of the Korban Pesach on his behalf. Ula Rav Yehuda Kashya, the Omar, according to Rav Yehuda, who said, Kol she'ein yochol likones b'shas achila. You know when someone will be exempt? Only if he is at that distance. He can't make it into Yerushalayim. He's so far away that he can't make it till the end of the eating allotted time. But if he can make it within that time frame, he's obligated. V'ha tomei sheretz, the yochol likones b'shas achila. Someone who's tomei sheretz, it's true he's tomei during the daytime, but the night that follows, he's already tor. So he can make it into Yerushalayim and be able to eat. He is able to eat the Korban Pesach that night. V'ko'amar, and yet Rav Yehuda says, here I have someone that's eligible for the eating. V'ko'amar, ein shochtin v'zorkin al tomei sheretz. And yet Rav Yehuda exempts him. He says, we don't process Korban Pesach on behalf of someone who is a Tomei Sheretz. So that's problematic for Rav Yehuda. If the issue is based on eligibility to eat, he is eligible to eat. Why then is he exempt? Why do we say we don't process his Korban Pesach? We don't process it for him, showing us he is exempt. Omar le, so Ula responds to Rabba, lo lididi kashya v'lo the Rav Yehuda kashya. What you presented in the first diamond is a question on me, and what you presented in the second diamond as a question on Rav Yehuda are not questions. And he explains, lididi lo kashya. As far as what you asked on me is not, that's not a question. Derech hachoika l'tohor, the idea of being exempt based on distance, that's an exemption for someone that is tahor. V'ein derech rechoika l'tomei. However, now, the term derech rechoika is a figure of speech. It means able to make it or not able to make it. So, derech rechoika, as a figure of speech, means not able to make it. That exemption of not being able to physically make it is not the basis of exemption if the inability to make it is because of tumah. If the inability to make it is a function only because of your being at an actual distance, so then the actual distance is a reason for exemption. However, if your inability to make it is not based on actual distance, but it's based on defilement, so that's not a reason for exemption. And therefore, shochtin v'zorkin al tomei sheretz, as Ula said. That's, of course, Ula's opinion. We continue at the top of Tzadi Dalet Omen Aleph, the Rav Yehuda Lo Kashya, and as far as what you raised as a problem for Rav Yehuda, that if the Derech Rechok is based on ability to make it in time for eating, and the Tomei Sheretz could become eligible for eating by virtue of the nighttime setting in, why then does Rav Yehuda say there's no shochtin v'zorkin for a tamei sheretz? Why do we not process his korban for him? So Ula explains that as far as Rav Yehuda is concerned, Tomei Sheretz Rachmona Dachye, the Torah pushed aside, disqualified a Tomei Sheretz. It's a Torah what we refer to as a Gzeres HaKosuv. The Torah ordains thusly, and it's not a function anymore of, we'll say, the ability to eat standard. True, he is able to eat. However, scripturally, the Tomei Sheretz is disqualified. Dichtiv, the pasuk says, "Ish ki ta'ye tomei lenefesh." The pasuk itself describes, as far as Pesach Rishon exemption, someone who is tomei lenefesh, which literally is someone who has been defiled. He became defiled because of the dead. Now, when someone is defiled as a result of the dead, we know in general it's a 7-day defilement period. However, the pasuk doesn't say which day of his defilement we are referring to. Mi lo askinon shechal shvi shelo lios be'erev haPesach. Is it not so that the pasuk might very well also be referring to someone who on the 14th of Nisan, he's on his 7th day, the last day of his defilement period? What does that mean? That means that by nightfall he is tahor, he's not defiled anymore. By nightfall he would be able to eat the Korban Pesach. And by the way, a Tomei Meis B'Shvi Shelo is very similar to a Tomei Sheretz. Tomei Sheretz is a 1-day Tumah. By nightfall he too is eligible to eat. So by referring to Tomei Lenefesh and stating and concluding that that refers to Tomei Nefesh on his 7th day, 7th day coinciding with the 14th of Nisan, by night he's able to eat from it, and even so, the Torah says you are disqualified. And disqualified means you're out of the picture with regard to that year's Pesach Rishon. And hence, Rav Yehuda concluded, Ein shochtim v'zorkin al tomei sheretz. So that this point, the fact that someone is tomei, though they are able to eat from it, does not counter the Rav Yehuda standard with regard to derech rechoika based on ability to eat. Because when it comes to physical distance, then his standard of time frame during which you're able to eat does apply. However, the standard of able to eat with regard to someone who is defiled, that does not apply, and that's a function of this gzakov that we just cited. Before we conclude, just let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.